Lieber Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Thursday, the 22nd of July, Norway commemorates the 10th anniversary of the terrorist attacks in Utøya. More lives are lost as migrants attempt to reach Europe by the Mediterranean Sea. And the global anti-trafficking network Talitha Kum launches a campaign focused on a care-centered model to break the cycle of trafficking and modern slavery. In the Vatican, I'm Lydia O'Kane. 10 years ago today, 77 people were killed in sequential terrorist attacks in Norway, the deadliest violence in the country since the Second World War. 8 of the victims died when a car bomb was detonated outside a tower block housing the offices of then Prime Minister Jens Stoltenberg. Less than 2 hours later, a lone gunman attacked a summer camp organised by the ruling Norwegian Labour Party, killing 69 people and injuring more than 100 others. Speaking with Vatican Radio, Bishop Erik Vardan of Trondheim reflects on the grief and perplexity that unites the nation 10 years on from the deadly attacks.
Obviously today, 10 years after the massacre on Utøya, the nation is still in grief and still struggles to understand how something as brutal as that act could happen in a nation that is peaceful and that prides itself on being peaceful. So we're united in grief and perplexity and also in indignation that such a thing should have happened here. Throughout the country, there will be manifestations of remembrance. Today, the bells of all the churches will ring at 12 as an invitation to prayer and to reverence. There will be meetings and discourses, but above all, people will meet to be together and to form a front against every tendency of violence and exclusion. And I think in that respect, our little Catholic Church here in Norway has an important role to play, given that we are such a patently multicultural and multi-ethnic entity. And I think our effort to create on the basis of that multiplicity a unity in charity, reconciliation and understanding and brotherhood can be a kind of model, as if in a laboratory, of the great national challenge that we're facing, that the nation can find a way of expressing its identity, and every nation needs an identity in positive terms and not in negative terms of exclusion and prejudice.
Aid groups said on Thursday that at least 17 migrants from Bangladesh drowned and more than 300 were rescued by Tunisian and Libyan naval units after their boats sank in the Mediterranean Sea. Survivors said all those who died had been in the hold of the boat because they had paid smugglers less than others and were suffocated by smoke when the engine caught fire. There has been a spike in crossings and attempted migrant boat crossings to Europe from Libya in recent months. The director of the Jesuit Refugee Service for Southern Eastern Europe, Father Stanko Perica, has been attending the Summer School of Theology in Dubrovnik. He told Vatican Radio that migration is an issue that unites all faiths.
It is a political issue, but also a theological issue, and we should be, as a church, as faithful, more involved. And I was very glad to be here with students and to hear how well they respond when they are asked to be more involved in this issue. It is a problem that unites us, a problem in which we, in this region, Catholics, Orthodox and Muslims can grow together, because if there is one thing that unites us, it's the notion that all human beings have the same dignity, that all human beings should be helped, and that if we are in position to help, we should help. And of course, here we are in this position. We have many migrants who are passing through our countries. Many of them are living in conditions that are not human conditions, and we should certainly get more involved.
Meanwhile, in the US, the Archbishop of Washington, Cardinal Wilton Gregory, spoke on Wednesday during an immigration rally discussing advancing immigration solutions in 2021. Francesca Marlowe tells us more.
On Wednesday, Cardinal Wilton Gregory of Washington spoke alongside U.S. senators in support of congressional immigration reform. The Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, or DACA, program was recently struck down in a district court. In support of this program, on the 21st of July, Cardinal Gregory called for immigration reform, whether through the enactment of standalone legislation or a broader legislative package. The DACA program was created in 2012 by then-President Obama to delay deportations of and allow a legal work permit for eligible undocumented immigrants brought to the U.S. illegally as children. Around 800,000 people have benefited from this program. Then in 2017, shortly after the election of Donald Trump as president of the U.S., his administration sought to wind down the program, accepting no new DACA applications, and gave Congress a six-month time frame to enact parts of the program in law. Cardinal Gregory's call for reform of the immigration system noted that our opportunity is found in our shared humanity and our shared dignity and respect for our neighbours. The Cardinal spoke for the Catholic bishops by saying that the Church has repeatedly expressed tremendous concern for families divided by our current broken immigration system. He noted that a strong society must provide opportunities for families to flourish. This includes immigrants and mixed-status families who deserve to be treated with justice and charity, Cardinal Gregory said. Cardinal Gregory then called for Catholics and all Americans to welcome migrants and refugees who are greatly contributing to our society through work and service with kindness. He highlighted Catholic social teaching, which upholds the teaching that every person has a right to live in his or her own homeland in security and dignity, with opportunities for work. However, he said, when the loss of these rights forces individuals to migrate to other lands, we must welcome them, protect them, and generously share our abundance with them. I'm Francesca Merlo.
The Catholic Church of Myanmar has been deeply moved by the solidarity and closeness of Filipino Catholics for the people of Myanmar, who are reeling under an intractable political crisis exacerbated by a devastating surge in COVID-19 infections. The Philippine bishops had declared July 19th a day of solidarity with Myanmar. Robin Gomes has more.
Your fellowship at these very challenging times in our history is a moving gesture, wrote Cardinal Charles Bo of Yangon, president of the Catholic Bishops' Conference of Myanmar, in a letter to his counterpart, Archbishop Romulo Valles of Davao, president of the Catholic Bishops' Conference of the Philippines, CBCP. The Philippine bishops declared last Monday, July 19th, a day of solidarity with Myanmar, asking Catholic churches across the nation to toll their bells at noon and at 6 p.m. on July 19th. This Southeast Asian nation has been thrown into a deep political crisis by the February 1st military coup that ousted Aung San Suu Kyi and her elected government. Since then, anti-coup protests and a civil disobedience movement have paralyzed much of the economy. With grateful sentiments, we Myanmar Catholics deeply appreciate the communion of the Church in the Philippines through Prayer Day on 19th July, designated as Martyrs' Day in Myanmar, in the memory of the sacrifice made by our founding fathers, wrote Cardinal Bo in the July 18th letter. Martyrs' Day commemorates the assassination of General Aung San, the father of Suu Kyi, and other leaders of the pre-independence interim government on July 19th, 1947. Your fellowship at these very challenging times in our history is a moving gesture, Cardinal Bo wrote. He said the people are facing three threats: the coup, the COVID pandemic, and the collapse of the economy. The tragic way of the cross that people have been through in the last 5 months, he said, has been an excruciating period of anguish. Hundreds died in the conflict. COVID waves carried away unknown numbers to be buried unsung and unwept in their last moments. In these sorrowful moments, our sister churches like yours stand by us with intense prayer, campaign for peace and reconciliation, and consistent support to our people, wrote Cardinal Bo, who is also the president of the Federation of Asian Bishops' Conferences. These noble gestures continue to heal our people, he added. I'm Robin Gomes.
Talitha Kum, the global anti-trafficking network of Consecrated Life against trafficking in persons, today launched a campaign focused on a care-centred model to break the cycle of trafficking and modern slavery. Linda Bordoni reports.
Between 20 and 40 million people are estimated to be trapped in modern slavery today. As Talitha Kum members never tire of telling us, we live side by side with many victims who are exploited for labour, for prostitution, for the profitable organ trade. Repeatedly, Pope Francis has denounced human trafficking as a scourge and a crime against humanity. But it is a trade that is hard to eradicate because it earns huge profits for traffickers and it goes largely undetected. That's why, Talita Kum says, extra care is needed. Launching its hashtag Care Against Trafficking campaign on Thursday, the organisation explained the initiative is focused on a care-centred model that aims to break the cycle. Garnering the support of men and women of goodwill, as well as governments and policy makers, it aims to show the world how care can make the difference along every step of the anti-trafficking journey, caring for those at risk, for victims, for survivors. Theirs, they reiterate, is a two-pronged approach that aims to empower vulnerable and marginalised communities, but also to dismantle the systems that enable their oppression and exploitation. I'm Linda Bordoni.
And finally, the Canadian bishops are highlighting the special place of the elderly in church and society in a video message released ahead of the inaugural celebration of the World Day for Grandparents on Sunday. The message notes that the elderly are keepers of the faith who connect us with the past, the present and the future. Father Benedict Mayaki has the story.
The first ever World Day for Grandparents and the Elderly will be celebrated on Sunday, 25th of July, under the theme, I Am With You Always, from the Gospel of Matthew. Ahead of the inaugural celebration, the Canadian Bishops' Conference Standing Committee for Family and Life released a video message inviting young people, families and communities to draw near and to spend time with grandparents and the elderly, cherishing and valuing their essential role in church and society. This first World Day falls within Pope Francis's larger idea for the Amoris Laetitia Family Year, which runs from March 2021 to June 2022. Holding up the theme of the celebration in the video message, the Canadian bishops assured the elderly that in spite of the uncertain and turbulent times, the Lord and the Church are close to them. The message went on to highlight the past many months that have been marked with significant challenges for all, particularly for the elderly, due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Many, the message noted, have experienced terrible isolation. Families, grandchildren, mothers and fathers, friends and neighbors have been separated, distanced, and some have lost loved ones. Nonetheless, the bishops urged the grandparents not to be discouraged by the pandemic and its effects, noting that through mutual support and helping one another, we will heal from the heartache caused by sadness and isolation. Highlighting the value of grandparents, the message noted that they are keepers of the faith, steadfast and persevering, in addition to being guardians of our collective memory, which supports and guides life in the society. On top of that, the elderly are very often our storytellers, the bishop said, as they gather their grandchildren and the younger generations around them to help them better understand our families, our history, our communities, and our world. The video message then reminded the elderly of the mission of evangelization, proclamation and prayer entrusted to them by Pope Francis, inviting them also to pray for an outpouring of grace upon their families and communities and to let the joy of the gospel transform their lives so that they may continue to encourage those who suffer and are lost. I'm Father Benedict Mayaki.
Well, that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, be sure to check out our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. You can also catch the latest updates on our Facebook page or on Twitter. Many thanks goes to our studio team in the Vatican. Thank you for joining us.